Oh, every time.
No, that's completely fine.
Every time, can't get it right. Can't get my own name right.
Ladies and gentlemen, boys and girls, I proudly present for your listening pleasure, WeHeart Music Radio.
Hi, this is Mo with WeHeart Music Radio, and returning is
Lara.
Lara, I'm Gaga, for you my pixel queen. Lara, Lara, you'll always be mine. Lara, how far are we gonna get this done?
All right, Lara. It looks like you're a globetrotter, right? I mean, you just came back from
a globetrotter. Well, I don't know about globetrotter, but yeah, I was in New York last week for a week, just visiting friends and enjoying the New York experience. So that was fun. I didn't actually get a chance to see any shows when I was out there. Hard when I go back to visit, just to know what's going on. There's just so much going on any given day. It's hard to choose. And I don't live there anymore, so I don't know like who the hot local bands are at the moment.
Yeah, I guess I just want to point out that there are a million New York bands, and they all seem to come from
Brooklyn.
Yeah, they all seem to come from Brooklyn. What is that about?
Yeah, I don't know. I feel like New York is the city of transplants too, and it's just from my experience and my knowledge of New York bands, or more specifically Brooklyn bands, a lot of them, or most of them, aren't actually born and raised New Yorkers. They come from elsewhere. A lot of Midwesterners seem to relocate, excuse me, musicians. So maybe Brooklyn is, you know, it has the reputation as being kind of like the hip, young place, artsy place to be in New York, and it's more affordable. Parts of Brooklyn are more affordable.
Right.
A lot of bands are from Williamsburg, and that's probably one of the hipper or hippest areas of Brooklyn, which is kind of funny because when I was living out there, we'd go to Williamsburg sometimes, and when people talk about Williamsburg, they're really only talking about like one piece of it, and that's where everything's located, like the bars and the clubs, but that's not Williamsburg as a whole. And you go kind of outside of that stretch and it's more, you know, more like residential, and I don't know if this is politically correct to say, but more like working class.
A working class hero is something to be.
Speaking of your show, so 1, 2, 3 at 7th Street 9, and you before we talk about the actual music, this band is impossible to look up online.
I know. Tell me about it. It I had to quickly learn the tricks of Google in order to find anything, and yeah, I don't know if they did that intentionally. Because, I mean, if they did, that's kind of funny in a way. But I remember hearing about this band a while back, and I didn't know too much about their music, but I knew their name, and I thought it was just a terrible name. And it made me sort of hate the band, even though I hadn't listened to them, just that they would choose a name like that that seems pointless and, you know, is difficult to Google and to find any information about. But my mind was changed some when I actually listened to their music.
Oh, okay. What do they sound like? Just indie rock or?
Yeah, it's sort of the show itself. I saw them at the 7th Street entry, and which is for those who aren't familiar with it, it's the little bar that's attached to the First Avenue, the little bar venue. And it was an incredibly packed show. I don't know if it was sold out at the end of the night, but there were people there when I got there. I got there, I think, right as the first opener was starting, and a local band, and I can't even remember what they're called, and it was already full. And then by the time 1-2-3 played, they were the second band, it was even more full. And then I'm sure a majority of the crowd was there for Yellow Ostrich, which was the headliner. So it was a busy show, and it's a small space, so you really feel the intensity of a crowd there. So the show itself was okay. It wasn't one of my favorite shows. I think a part of the problem was that the band was started by these two guys, and one of the guys was not there. He had some sort of family emergency or family issue, so it was just the lead singer. And so he did like a solo set for the most part. A couple other band members stepped in later on, but it was a very noisy environment. And so a man on stage with just his guitar, it's sort of hard to command the audience. And so it was sort of hard also for me to really hear and really involve myself in the music. And that made it difficult then to write like a really sort of quality review. And that's not the word, quality. It makes it sound like I wrote it. Review, but so I was sort of underwhelmed by the show. Then as I was writing the review, I listened in depth to their full-length album, and I loved the album. The album I thought was great. It was mainstream enough where I think they could, they're certainly very marketable, but there were sort of these bizarre stylistic elements that I really liked. And it's just every song sounded different, and yet the whole album, everything worked as a whole, if that makes sense.
Right.
I don't know if I'm being very articulate, but it's just, I still am listening to the album. I loved it.
Huh. The album you're referring to is called New Heaven.
Yes.
Speaking of, I guess I'm not familiar with the band, but I know Yellow Ostrich from being on Barsook Record. I think that's how you call it, right? Barsook?
Sure.
What do you call it?
I don't call it anything. I don't think I've ever said it out loud, but that sounds good. Let's go with that.
It could be Barsook Record.
Barsook. Let's go with Bar... What? How did you say it?
Barsook.
Let's go with that. That sounds better. Yeah.
I've always liked the record label. So whoever they signed, I've always liked the bands that they signed. Usually they go for like kind of like pop mentality, kind of like pop rock. Mm-hmm. And speaking of which, one of the artists, Nada Surf, just played last night.
Really? I sort of lost track of them. I wasn't even certain they were still a band, so that's interesting.
I think the singer's name is Matthew Calls. He looks really good on stage. You know how sometimes some people get older and they let go a little, you know?
That's a nice way of saying it. They've given up. I do know. I've seen those front men. Yeah.
Right. And but Matthew looks great. I mean, a nice haircut, nice build, nice shirt, jeans.
He was fully clothed. That's good.
he started their set with all these new songs from the new album. I think it's called Stars Looks Different to Astronauts or something.
Oh.
And they came out, they did those new songs. The new songs are very high energy, like pop songs, but they maintain that energy throughout the show. I mean, it was never like a moment where like we're going to take it down a notch, you know? It was never like that. And
yeah, that's cool. Where was it?
I was actually at the First Avenue,
First Ave.
which is 7th Street's bedroom or something.
7th Street's bedroom? Is 7th Street the closet,
Yeah,
the First Ave's bedroom?
to kind of give you for listeners who's not based out of Minneapolis, First Avenue is basically the main bedroom where it can fit about I think I want to say under 2,000 people, about that size.
Yes, but not
Yeah,
comfortably,
right.
because I've been to shows where they've packed it to the brim,
Oh
and
my
it's
God, yeah.
definitely not comfortable.
And 7th Street, to give you a comparison, is housed only about 200 people. And so it's a very small place. It's easy to sell out the 7th Street as well. So
Yes.
Natasurf played the big room, and they even like remarked it that they started out playing Minneapolis at 7th Street. So it's been you know, they paid their dues, you know. They've been to
Oh, yeah, of
they've been
course.
around, you know.
They have been around.
And they finally came back, and they played the big room, and they were so happy to play the big room. I could not. There's something very humble about that, where they're like, "Oh, we're just so happy we can fill this place up."
Oh, that's sweet.
Yeah,
That's very endearing.
I think the best part is they had the guitars from Guided by Voices, and
Oh, wow.
I think Matthew likes the band that he asked them to come on tour with him, so it's kind of. I'm sure it's a like he's gonna pay them as well, not just.
Well, it's not just a friendly favor.
He also, yeah, he also had the guy from Calexico as their mixer, so he was there on stage doing the
Oh.
mixing, and he also once in a while busts out a trumpet.
Oh, very cool. That's kind of a diverse mix of musicians, huh? I mean, I just think of each of their projects and how different they are, or they were maybe
Right.
back in the day.
Yeah, anyway, I like them. I think Natasurf is a really good pop band if you have ever liked pop music.
If I was better off asleep or up. Now I've grown up. I wonder what was that world I was dreaming of. When I was young, I didn't know if I was better off asleep or up. Now I've grown up. I wonder what was that world I was dreaming of. What was that world I was dreaming of? What was that world I was dreaming of?
You know, like sissy rock or anything like that, but it's.
Yes. Yeah, I'm with you. I definitely prefer the high energy pop, I guess, for lack of a better word, next to the sissy music, as you call it.
Yeah, I actually did not coin that term. It was I met somebody online, and she's from Iceland, and she was asking me what kind of music I like, and I was trying to describe to her the kind of bands I like, and so I was giving her some examples like Belle Sebastian, and instantly she's like, "Oh yeah, we have a word for that in our language," and then she, you know, translated for me, and it was sissy music.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, I so maybe sissy is a synonym for twee in Iceland. I didn't know. Our term for that particular brand of music is not as PG. We always called it the
I may have to blurp
Really? But it's one and the same, and there is a time and place for that music, definitely. I love Belle and Sebastian, although I think maybe I guess I would call them twee, but I feel like there's so much
Right.
more. You know, they you can if you just read their lyrics, if you don't even listen to the songs themselves, like, they have very clever lyrics, and they cover some deeper topics maybe than just young puppy love or whatever.
Maybe it wasn't just Belle and Sebastian, but I was telling her I like the Smiths and Morrissey and that kind of depressing type of music, and I think
music you weep to.
Doesn't matter what I'm thinking, what I tell myself to do, I end up calling. I stay in to defrost the fridge. Now the kid has gone to bed, feeling of dread. At least when she's around, the trouble's there. It's worse to wake up with them falling round the room.
I have to tell you something though. Iceland people are so good looking.
Oh,
and,
yeah.
I was actually at an Icelandic show for Of Monsters and Men at the Fine Line.
What were they called? What are they called?
They're called Of Monsters and Men, and kind of Mice and Men,
mm-hmm.
but instead of the mice part is monsters. And this is a big Icelandic group, and I think I counted like 7 band members on stage,
wow.
And they're one of those band that has a lot of hey. Hey, hey, like it's very catchy, it's all like you don't know any of the lyrics, but once you listen to a couple of songs, you're just singing along because it's that kind of, what I mean?
Were there hand claps involved?
Oh, yes. And foot stomps and.
that's great. Yeah, I love a good hand clap. I mean, really, no, you're right. It is. Maybe even the coldest heart can't help, feeling uplifted by a good round of hand clapping. It's infectious, and you find yourself clapping along even if that's not your thing.
So have you heard Icelandic people speak English at all?
Maybe Bjork once.
Yeah,
a long
sure.
time ago. I don't know. I don't think I know any Icelandic people personally. So no, I have not. I can't even picture Bjork talking. So no, the short answer is no.
And the right answer is that it's super cute. Like
it's
an empty house. So hold my hand, I walk with you, my dear. The stars creak as you sleep, it's keeping me awake. It's the house telling you to close your eyes. And some things I can't even trust myself. It's killing me to see this way. Cause though the truth may bury this, ship will carry on.
So the opener band, her name is Lalo, is
okay.
Yeah, that's not her real name. Her real name is Lovistia or something.
Oh. Okay. Is Lalo, does that mean something in Icelandic? Is that an Icelandic word or?
Actually, she confessed that she doesn't even know what that means.
Oh.
<It's> just...
Well, at least she's honest. That's good.
She sounds just like if Bjork had a child, and that child was a shy, sensitive girl who, I took the bus and...
Okay, that sounds
it's...
sort of Scottish. Like a terrible Scottish accent. That doesn't help.
The long story says she was here in Minneapolis, and so she wanted to explore the city a bit, right? So she got on a bus, and the bus took her someplace, and she went back on the same bus, but it didn't take her back home in downtown, and so she got a bit lost. And so there she was, just wandering around like as an Icelandic person would do in a foreign town. Yeah, so she found these people, and they I guess drove her to the show.
Oh, wow. I guess they're more trusting in Iceland.
So yeah, so she was she invited them in the show, so they're actually at the show and watching her perform her set. But yeah, it's like it's very cute.
What can I do to make everything alright? And I've tried my best, and now this is way too late. And I can bake, I can bleed, and I can even make you weep. But just please, please, please.
I should talk a bit about my newfound interest in watching The Voice.
Oh, that's right.
I suppose that's appropriate since it's a singing competition and, you know, this is a music blog.
All right. So, all right. You want to do that? Hey, you know, that's actually a good idea. I kind of want to talk about a little bit about not Glee, but the other show, the Smash.
Yeah. I have not seen, I saw maybe the first 15 minutes of the premiere episode, and we can get into that because Smash comes on after The Voice.
There you go.
Yep. So The Voice, this is only the second season. I think they've only had one season before, and I did not watch last season. I had vaguely heard about it, but at the time, it just seemed like an American Idol ripoff. And so I started watching it, and it's really amusing. It's really amusing. I think their sort of shtick is that for the they call them the blind auditions. So the first few weeks are dedicated to these performers auditioning in front of the judges. Except the catch is that the judges, the one, two, three, four judges, all have their chairs turned so they're not facing the singers. So they have no idea what the singers look like, which I'm assuming is meant to eliminate the possibility that they would choose somebody based solely on their physical appearance. So they, you know, they listen to the musician perform, and then they decide whether or not they like that person. And if they like that person, they press the little button and their chair turns around, and then they get to watch the rest of the performance. And at the end of the performance, let's say three of the judges turned around, then the singer gets to choose between those three judges who they want to work with. And so that's sort of how they get their team initially. So each of the judges has their own set of, I think, 12. They're able to choose 12 singers. So those are the preliminary rounds, and then from there, the judges kind of pit their singers against one another. They pair them up. And it's the battle round, and it's so amusing because during the battle round, the stage is set up like a boxing ring. You know, like they're really focusing on the battle aspect of the name, and so the two singers from their own team perform, and then the judges choose one from each of the pairings, and so they whittle it down to six contestants per judge. I don't know who might be listening that is not familiar with The Voice at all, but the four judges are Adam Levine of Maroon 5, CeeLo Green, Christina Aguilera and Blake Shelton, who's a country artist. So it's a pretty diverse mix of musical backgrounds.
So the battle heats up this April 2nd, and followed by...
Yes, the battle, thank you. Yes, the battles have finished. So I think starting tomorrow, Monday, is the the live show where the performers sing and America gets to vote. So there's still that, there is that American. So there is that similar element where you get to call in and vote for your favorites. And then that's, I think the rest of the show is dedicated to that. So I have my favorites personally. I will probably not vote because it, that aspect of it seems kind of silly to me, but it is fun watching them perform. It's just, it's sort of a guilty pleasure, maybe is the term. But not even, because I feel no guilt about watching it.
So, yeah, the show runs all through April, and then the season finale will be on May 8th. So I guess TiVo it.
TiVo it. Or watch it live. Watch it live. Vote. Make your vote count.
We're discovering something genuine.
Biggest difference between this show and all of the other vocal competition shows is that it's a blind audition.
Wow.
We're going to be sitting in these big chairs.
Our backs will be turned to the stage. Contestants will sing their hearts out.
You get to concentrate on nothing but the voice.
I don't have to worry about what somebody looks like.
Remember the 70s? There's some sketchy looking people that had gorgeous voices.
I love that it's based purely on their voice.
Because a great voice is a great voice. Is a great voice.
I guess that's a good segue to Smash, since it directly follows The Voice.
Right. It's also on NBC as well. And
I saw a little bit of the very first episode and was not sucked in. I guess I never really was that involved in Broadway performances and musical theater. So to me, it just seems like another music-related fictional show, like Glee. I think you've made the comparison. I don't really care for, what's her name, who's the lead actress.
Oh, the one that won the American Idol.
Yeah, I don't really, I don't know. There's just something about her that does not really appeal to me. But it was kind of funny watching that first episode and seeing, you know, all sorts of familiar faces. Like, I love Angelica Houston. I think she's great in pretty much everything. So if I were to watch the show, it would probably be just to watch her.
So to give the comparison between Glee and Smash, they're really not for the same audience. To me, Glee is more of a kind of teenager, high school audience where they like that. Those covers, you know, and Smash, on the other hand, is more Broadway. I think more of an older audience that appreciate the fine arts, you know.
Yes, appreciate a show about Marilyn Monroe.
Lesson they should teach in school. When a girl gets curvy and the boys all drool. If math and science just ain't your style, just give that teacher a wink and a smile. For a passing grade, you won't have to wait. And you can thank him later when you graduate. Cause I never met a wolf who didn't love to howl. No, I never met a man who wasn't on the prowl. If a nice diploma you wanna get, well then make that teacher the students bet. Yeah, I never met a wolf who didn't love to howl. You never know where it was.
And unfortunately, like, I could not get into either of the shows. I think I love musical. I love that big band orchestra. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
But the shows just aren't appealing to me. I mean, I still get the soundtrack and I listen to them, and I love each one, but the show just don't get it, I guess.
I understand. When Glee first started, I watched it. I did watch the full first season. And I liked it. I thought it was, because prior to Glee, there weren't, if I'm remembering correctly, there weren't any other shows like that that were, I mean, maybe High School Musical. I don't know. But there weren't, like, I mean, I think that was on the Disney station. So there weren't any like primetime shows that were music based like that.
That's a very good comparison. Glee is like, to Disney's High School Musical.
Right. Maybe less tame, though. Probably High School Musical, because of Disney's restrictions, they can't get away with as much. You know, no underage drinking or sex or foul language. But Glee, I thought, you know, it was cute, and the singing was decent. I think the girl on it, the main girl, has an awesome voice. Just, you know, she has that huge voice, and it's very powerful, and it sounds great. So I was kind of hooked after that first episode where they all perform Journey together. I thought that was great. But I just sort of lost interest, and I think the show went downhill a bit, because with any show of that nature, I feel like they sort of unnecessarily create drama where it doesn't need to be created. You know, a lot of love triangles and, you know, emotional outbursts. And yes, it's high school. High school is filled with drama, but it got kind of tiring after a while watching that. So I haven't seen Glee in a very long time, nor have I listened to the music from Glee. So I know you're probably more in the know than I am, even though you don't watch it either.
That's true, and you may be in the minority, because I think Glee is stronger than ever as far as by the numbers. So just to give you an idea, 32 million Glee songs have been downloaded.
Wow, impressive.
It's number 8 in the top 10 of best-selling digital artists of all time, including Whitney Houston's I Will Always Love You. It has sold more than 50,000 tracks just on that strength of her death.
Yeah, the strength of her death. Quite a statement.
and that's just the digital part. The meat of the money is all in the physical CDs. If you ever go to Target, for instance, they take off a whole section of CDs. And in terms of Billboard Hot 100 chart, you know, Billboard's been collecting, you know, who's selling well and who's doing well in the charts for, you know, since the 50s or the 40s, right? Mm-hmm. And they've reported that, according to their numbers, that Glee actually outsold the Beatles, Elvis, and James Brown.
No way. Seriously?
Yeah, it's true.
That's more disturbing. How?
This is a man's world. This is a man's world. But it wouldn't mean nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl. You see, man made the cars to take us over the road.
All right, Laura. It's reached almost an hour, so
okay.
We're gonna have to cut it off.
Sounds good.
So, what? Any particular song you've been listening to that, or any bands that you've really been digging lately that you wanna end the show with at all?
Why don't we end it with 1-2-3, since I mentioned them, and since I still have been listening to their album, and I can give you a specific track too. It's called Just Like Heaven Is Gone, and it's number 7, I think, in the record.
Any reason why you like that number?
It's weird. It's a weird little song. It's sort of a ballad, maybe, is how I would describe it. But it's, I think I said in my review that it reminded me of like a prom ballad from like the 50s or 60s, but something you might hear in like a David Lynch movie. Just there's something sort of creepy about it, and the singer performed in a falsetto. I can't stop listening to it. There's something about it that attracts me.
Yeah, you feel like slow dancing to it every
I
time.
I do. I feel like getting on my prom dress and my and slow dancing with that cute boy from math class, definitely.
I'm picturing retainers and anyway,
two retainers. That's why there was no evening, no farewell kiss. You know, it's dangerous. Can't have two retainers going at each other. Oh man. On that note.
Lately there's nowhere
to touch on the Brooklyn thing. There's a very famous music blog called Brooklyn Vegan, and whenever I hear that, I think it's some kind of like dinery website or whatever. But it's
a diner?
No, like some kind of like food a, or some kind of.
Oh, because of the word vegan. Do you know the origins of the name? I don't.
I think it's just some guy who is a very hip, like some hipsters who is obviously vegan, and.
Wouldn't it be great if he's not though?
Oh.
If he's not vegan at all. If he, you know, loves eating his hamburgers and hot dogs. That, I mean, I'm sure you're right, but that would be funny if he was just some normal guy who wears like pleated slacks and like combs his hair to the side. Oh, well, I mean, hipsters love irony, right? Wouldn't that be an example of irony? Anyway, continue.
I'm pretty sure he described himself as at least half vegan.
Okay. How are you half vegan? Isn't half vegan just not vegan? I'm going to start calling myself that, a half vegan. Well, I eat steaks, but I don't eat eggs.
So a friend of mine is a vegan. Some of you don't know what a vegan is, haven't heard yet. A vegan is a person who won't eat anything made by or with flavor. Vegan friend gets all excited though when he finds new vegan food. He's like, oh man, you gotta try this. It tastes just like turkey, but it's made with tofu. They call it tofurkey. Nah, man, I don't gotta try that. Cause I already found something that tastes just like turkey, except it's made with turkey. It's called turkey.